Let's do it.
You ready?
Yep.
We're not going to embarrass Adam, but it's his birthday, so you can just say happy birthday. Clint and the mayor are doing interviews with everybody. You're the last one I have to talk to.
Okay.
Can you come in early to the next meeting? July 6th?
Yes.
At like 5:45?
Mm-hmm. What's that?
5 minutes early.
That's what you go with.
All right. Ready?
Yep.
Let's do it. Let's have fun.
Okay, we're not going to be talking about the rules and the new rules and policies for the Planning Commission because we're not. So we decided to redo them completely. So it's taking a little longer. So we're not just changing them. We're completely reformatting and changing them. So it's taking a little longer.
Ooh, that sounds serious.
Right? It'll end up being all the same words.
Just in a different order.
So, before we get to the agenda, everybody should have a copy, first of all, just of the latest sent at 4 o'clock draft. Clint didn't get one, then I...
I reviewed it, but there was another copy.
I know, and I grabbed it because I need one. Will you have a couple copies of that for me?
Okay.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah. Well, the other couple, because you're going to probably want to write on it, and I need to write on it, so.
If he's making
it, he's going to make a couple, so we'll get a couple more.
I think everyone has one, yeah.
Except for me. But we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's go over a couple other things first. Because I have some notes. Accessory buildings. So we changed the ordinance to say accessory buildings shall match the house with color and material. The concern we've had now come up a couple times is I'm putting up a little tough shed. They don't have to get a building permit, so we don't see it. What do you want me to do on those?
Just color.
That's what I'm thinking on those.
Just want
is
a
just
blue
color.
Shed next to a tan
is,
building.
Is on those little tough sheds, I'm not thinking we're wanting them to try to work on them
as
or anything.
As long as they
it's
try
color,
to make
so.
It look close.
No, I agree. I think it's a color thing. And you're talking one.
Yeah, just like less than 200 square feet.
Less than 200
little,
square feet.
Yeah.
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 Color.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I needed.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't care.
I thought so, but.
1 minute of this and 1 minute of that. As long as it's the same color, I really don't care.
A little village of tough sheds.
Next thing is fencing. So the ordinance right now says white or tan beige vinyl fence. We had somebody put up this fence, which I think looks fine. Past somebody, it's like gray. I've never seen the gray vinyl.
I've seen it.
I didn't have a problem with it. I just want to know if you guys care. I thought it looked good. It seemed to match the house or whatever, so I put that.
I think the intent for me is minimum white, to be honest. Anything above that?
And not a lot of hopscotch.
Right. So we're probably vinyl of any color. Well, I guess I'd come out with pink vinyl.
Yeah. Or
bright
red.
Earth ones?
Yeah.
Oh, gray is not earth.
I don't know where they come from.
Reds?
You're not going to get a red vinyl. You're not going to get it. So I'll probably just tweak the ordinance to
never say no
to change.
I doubt we'll get a red. Red vinyl.
I think that looks good.
I loved it too. And we had complaints about it.
Really?
I'm like, I think it matches the house.
I think it looks really good with it.
But it is in violation of the current ordinance.
Yeah,
it
is.
Right?
Now,
there
this,
are a ton of those,
as far as we know, was put in prior to the fence ordinance. So.
There are a lot of
the other thing I've seen lately is some of the fences that are like the deluxe vinyl fence that looks like what the
I've seen
something
that look like that looks like wood kind of.
Or the ones I've seen are the ones that look like they look like the precast wall,
yeah, like
a
precast,
but they're really vinyl.
Yeah,
they're cool. They're really expensive, but those. To
but
me
I agree though with you. If it's vinyl plus, then I think we're fine.
We basically are saying no wood or chain link.
Right. So I kind of am having a struggle with the list of permitted fence types. Like, we didn't put wrought iron in there. I don't know why.
Looks very nice.
Fine with wrought iron. I don't think anybody didn't want wrought iron.
Some of them, wrought iron makes more sense than vinyl.
In a lot of places it does. So I
stand up.
We'll tinker with that list a little bit. Because, again, I think the prohibited is probably more important than the permitted.
Yeah, I think that would be the best.
Yeah, okay. Animals. So we have like a hobby permit, for example, that lets you have more than 3 dogs. It's a conditional use. But you guys, I don't think necessarily, we really defer to animal control. You guys probably aren't really going to determine if 4 or 5 dogs is okay. That's kind of the struggle we've had with it in the past, is how are you guys going to make that call? So the question is, how do you want us to process those? Do you want to see them, I guess is the question?
No.
Or would you rather just kind of staff deal with it and let animal control? Animal control needs us to say okay before they even, because then they have to process it. Then they go out and inspect, and then they look at it. They see if there's any past history on that property. I mean, so they just need us to say okay
first. I think that seems appropriate.
So our thought was maybe we do them like the home occupations, maybe just notify the neighbors if we don't get any complaints.
If it's a complaint, I think it should come to us.
Okay.
Sure, there's not a bigger issue.
Okay.
But it would only be a complaint.
Okay.
Yeah, just like you handle things that you're going to approve them with the notice, you don't have any feedback, approve them, send them on.
Okay. That's by
the paper jam.
Or we got to fix it.
Does anybody else have a problem with this? Make sure you have the newest one. And I know there was 3 versions that went out today, so. John, do you have the newest one?
I do have.
Okay. All right, I think that's all the questions, animals. Let me just make sure, because I... Okay. All right. Can I go to the agenda?
Please.
Item 2.1 is a 2-lot subdivision. This is a 2-acre piece, wants to subdivide into 2 1-acre properties. The only real issue on that one is the sidewalk, but like I said, I'm just recommending that they leave it for it until they get a building permit on that lot. They're not planning to do anything right now to change anything on the property, so I...
Yeah, I think the title is...
The whole subdivision, it would just be a 156. Yeah, we would require it internally because they don't have sidewalks in that subdivision.
This one makes sense to me, but one of my frustrations that we have is that we keep re-subdivising a subdivision. I'm not saying on this one because this was a subdivision a long time.
Right, this is a long time. Yeah.
Oh,
It was.
One thing that's really getting frustrating to me is that we need to start protecting somehow that once it's been subdivided, we're done.
Yeah.
It kind of gets along that 6400 West stuff some of that other.
I agree. So we actually had somebody come in a couple of weeks ago up in the Cove and wanted to buy a lot in the Cove and put in a flag lot on one of the lots. We were like, for a million reasons.
Well, I think you're
going to. But again, in a subdivision, that's not what we're looking for.
I think you're going to get a lot of that, especially as land increases and you get more people wanting.
And we have larger properties. Yeah.
I think we need to have something.
The subdivision needs to be the subdivision.
Once
it's classified as this.
So, I think I told you guys.
I get a lot line adjustment here and there, but I just don't see.
So the council passed a resolution ordinance.
For flag lots, right?
To look at flag lots, yeah. So that will be coming back, and again, we're going to. So the ordinance that you guys looked at a few weeks ago, we're kind of holding on that until we can look at the whole flag lot thing. So we'll bring some stuff back, maybe in the joint meeting next month.
Because ideally to me, this house should have already been subdivided, and they could have bought 2 lots, had the subdivision already done.
Just had their
built the house there, and when they chose to later, they could subdivide. Like, I'm okay with that, but changing it.
Why was that one not included as part of
the... Because that was the original
land. That's why they did it originally.
That's why they
did it.
Because
that house was original.
Because that's the owner of all the property.
So she sold the rest of it, subdivided.
That was her.
And they had to do that. I know the inside story. They had to do that to keep the well.
Yeah. But now they don't use it.
Now that's what they're doing, yeah.
That's why they're doing it right now, is to keep the well.
Yeah. But I get... two things on that. One, yes, in terms of this application that's in front of us, I agree with the improvements on 56, but we hope that water helps.
Totally, yeah.
I agree with that, but back to the larger issue is
I agree,
the exact
yeah.
same thought as out.
So just in case you care, Blake and I have been keeping track of the number of people we have talked to about flag lots since we counseled
this.
It's worked the six in the last 2 weeks.
Six or seven, we might have
that we've told no to, basically. So it just gives you an idea. We thought we'd keep track because it gives you an idea of how many people we talked to about flag lots. And it surprised me how many it's been ongoing.
Yeah, I used to work with developers, and developers look for certain properties in there and what they can afford, and they look for those sizes and researches. And that's where I think on lots like this that are a pre-subdivision, I think they're done because they'll look for the same kind of thing.
Right.
They don't really care about... It's what can you do to make the improvements to make you a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. It makes sense to me. But I understand we need to protect, especially the interest of other people that have moved in.
Because
once you buy and you commit to the plat, I don't think... The one thing I do have a question on is, and Blake, it's probably more of an engineering question. Last I remember, if you amend a plat like this, you have to get everybody in the entire plat to sign off that they need to do a subdivision.
We only make them amend that lot.
But see, in reality...
I looked up state statute, and I couldn't find anything that said one way or the other. Because I was wondering that, too, when this one came across for the recommendations.
I'll say this. I know if you change, like, the street, I've done an amendment of two
If you do street things, anybody
who
uses that street, we have to notify, yeah.
What? To be honest, if this was two landowners, and you did this, and there was just two big lots, it was landowner A and landowner B, they have to sign the plat to amend, do anything in order for John to sign off and move
mm-hmm.
forward. I don't know why, if we're truly amending a subdivision, why you don't have to make it. It's just, to me, it's almost fair to.
We'll check with John and we'll,
mm-hmm.
we'll do whatever we need to do it.
Because otherwise, you're kind of like, you're pulling the wool over someone's eyes. I'm sure if I bought the lot right behind here and I couldn't afford the 1 acre, but I knew I wanted to be next to the big one.
Yeah.
They probably paid premiums and they deserve that right of what they
to know
committed
it, yeah.
to. And to just keep changing.
But there also is a public hearing process and all that. So, I mean, it's not like they don't have any say.
But if they come in and say, I don't want to do it, we're just going to say a public clamor. To be honest.
True. We could say that.
And if the person that's right here in the back says, I bought this because it's a detrimental effect to me because I bought it.
But it's not a conditional use, it's a subdivision. They meet the zoning, they meet the lot size.
Whether
they just sign the plat, that's a different issue. I agree. And we'll look into that.
But in the larger scale, because when you're talking a subdivision,
it's
many times we've had where the original property owner keeps this bigger piece of property,
mm-hmm.
subdivides everything else off, which is all
that's
part of the subdivision, because, I want to keep a big chunk for me, and then years go by
in the future,
and now it's either too much for them to take care of,
right.
or... they have sold or they've passed on or whatever the case may be, now whoever's in charge of that is like, I don't need all this.
Yeah.
I'm going to subdivide it some more because that's what's around me and I should be able to do that. But that's all tied to the overall subdivision.
And a lot of situations it is, right, where the density or whatever is approved.
Because didn't we have that person in between Valley View, the weird, where they were adding all the property, and we counted the
yes.
person's lot.
We did. We
and the guy came in
lots.
Recently.
Yep.
I swear, it was like
he did.
A month ago.
Yeah,
and
a couple
he was
months
upset,
ago.
And we're like, well, we counted you.
We counted you. You were part,
you were part
yeah.
of the discussion.
Yes.
Yep.
That's exactly
okay.
my point. Is
we'll
a lot
that.
Of these is when we're doing these subdivisions, it's because we're looking at the overall density of that land, and they're keeping the bigger lot to get smaller lots to on the inside for the density.
We could certainly approve it that way up front if that was. The intent, you know what I mean? But if we approve it,
well, I know
with
like
a bigger lot there up front, then that's yeah.
I know somebody up in Rosecrest that they bought two lots and they built a home in the center of the two lots.
Yeah, happens all
yeah.
the time.
Fine, do it. That's
happens
fine.
All the time.
They can afford for this. That's their
yeah.
prerogative.
Yeah,
that's different than
that's different.
Us coming
yeah.
back. I know if I was the long-term resident here, they have no ramification to change it. And if they get upset and they say, "Well, I bought this because," and we paid extra premium for. in reality, they thought they were buying next to an acre. So I'm kind of conflicted on this. Even this one, even though it's so old, yeah. But we didn't approve it, so it's right. Kind of the county.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's bigger than that.
All right. 2.2 Castlewood Development. So this is the formerly known as the St. Kate Apartments. So some of you remember, maybe most of you. St. Kate was approved a few years ago. Their conditional use expired. The property is still zoned RM. It's still part of Anthem as far as density and all that. But they do have to get a new conditional use for the apartments. So the original approval was 422. They're now asking for 342 apartments. A lot of that is, and again, the developers here, you can answer that, a lot of that is the buildings. A lot of them have been reduced. Most of them are four-story in the original plan. Most of them have been reduced to three stories now. And mostly to accommodate the additional parking that was needed.
Have we mitigated the master plan agreement issue?
The development agreement?
The development agreement. It's solved.
It was approved last week by the council. So you saw the emails. One of the biggest concerns we heard from the neighbors was about the access. So we've got an exhibit we'll show you in there, but we have talked to the let me see if I can find one on that. To the developer to the south, Pod 14 and Miller Crossing, their townhomes, and they have stubbed a road right to here. Again, I'll show you in there, but it's basically right in here. Can't see that. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. So just on the south end, just off of Main Street, so they could stub down through Pod 14 and then get out to Main Street that way.
Okay.
So there is that alternative.
Have they started building that road?
No. Their plans are approved though, and that road stubs right to the property line. Yes. So I mean it's.
So the only limitation here would be they can't build more than 30 units until that second access.
So apartments are different.
They're different.
Apartments, they can build 200 units okay. on one access. So you can think about that and how you want to do that. You may want to require it. You may want to require it sooner, you know, or whatever. But and the other question is when we originally approved this, one of the big conversations we had was wanting it to be part of the entire community, entire area, which is why we wanted trail connections and road connections so that it was mixing up, you know what I mean, the properties. So, you know, whether you want to eliminate completely this access, you'll need to think about, you know what I mean? I think adding this other access here will definitely help the concerns. Whether you want to eliminate that completely, you might want to, you know, think about that. I think this definitely mitigates that detrimental effect of this access, but I don't know that it's necessary to get rid of that one.
So back onto that question I had with the master development the discussion, with us reducing this number from whatever it was to the current number, we're not transferring that.
That development agreement's already been approved. The density's already been approved.
So I want to make sure 179 or
179.
So just want to make sure.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So yeah.
Okay.
That's easy.
So, again, he showed you a lot of this last time, so, you know, you've seen elevations and stuff. Seems like there was there's nothing in the conditions about that access, so you'll just want to look at that. Again, we didn't necessarily recommend that you try and approve this tonight. You know, we probably need to work with the access.
So, my question is on the parking.
Yes.
So, I didn't see anything in the packet or anything that's been submitted. It would justify why we would not require them to meet our parking requirements and give them a reduction.
Other than the parking study they submitted a few weeks ago, they haven't submitted anything new. They're three or four spots shy at this point. They'll probably lose a couple studying that road. They may lose a couple more there.
So yeah, that's really my question.
So that's something to consider. Yeah.
Is what do we have that would justify it? Again, doesn't matter how many below.
Right.
The parking standard it is, we're asking for an exception on this, and I want to know if we have anything, any justification there for us to consider of why we would not require that here.
And you can certainly ask the developer if he's like I said, the parking study, we received that a few weeks ago, but nothing new since then.
Blake, have you had a chance really to look at that?
Mm-hmm. I already did the parking study. The main concern I had with it was it didn't contemplate the capacity or how full the apartments are, and that information is really hard to get from the apartment. So most of them obviously are overparked with the study showing it, and I think the parking is really more of a function of how well it's laid out more than the numbers. You know, the numbers are always important, but I think if you're reducing by 4 or 5, that's probably an acceptable level according to their study based on it. Their study showed something like 20 to 40 stalls was more what was empty in the parking lot.
And personally, I think we should just stay with our standard.
And you can, yeah.
Well, and if we step that low, we're going to lose even more traffic.
It seems like when we talked, you thought you might be able to get a couple more in another place anyway. So
I'll address that in the public meeting.
Yeah. The elevations, we're working on Main Street, so there's a lot going on. The next one is, this is for Bellavia. This is, we approved this last year. They'd like to just amend their setbacks. What we approved was 20 feet from the public right-of-way.
To any portion.
This is where they need to slip, right?
Yes.
Okay.
What they'd like to reduce it to is 18 feet to the for the garage and 12 feet, which is, we do this typically in townhomes a lot. I think part of what they did was they had measured their 20 feet from the back of side, back of curb,
not
back of
sidewalk.
So their driveway will still be 18 feet.
Still be able
and
to
behind the sidewalk. Behind so, the sidewalk. Yeah. So, doesn't change the layout that you've seen at all or anything. It just
basically.
So, what do you all think
about it?
Because I don't think. To be honest, I'm driving some urban. There's no way. My truck wouldn't fit or my
car. Yeah, see, that's.
Oh, I know, my
truck. 18 feet is a parking space. I mean, that's.
No, 18 feet is a parking space if you out.
Yeah,
I'm saying it. If it's a 2 foot overhang over the curb, it's 18 feet. So I agree in like a where you actually your front end goes over the curb, and so yes, you can get more than 20. But because this will put people's back end of their cars on the sidewalk, I'm not really. I like the 12 feet, but the 20 feet, I'm not really. Yeah, you agree if you had a curb that it was sitting across to help offset that truck or vehicle, but the house is there. So in reality, my car, my gold car that I drive is 17'6".
I love that you know that.
So,
it's actually 5 3/4.
But the reason why I said that is because it barely fit in my garage after I put something in it. What I'm saying is, my car, my gold, just
regular car,
would only have 6 inches if I almost touched the garage. That just seems a little too close to me. I get the intent and I understand, but that's why we do better concepts on the side.
My garage is 22.5 feet, and I have to touch the wall to close the door for my truck.
Your truck.
Mm-hmm. That's why I know, because I had to reconfigure my garage so that my Suburban and my car can park. That's why I know how long my car is.
Yep.
Because I have a 22-foot garage as well. But I just, 20 feet is, I get if we had an overhang.
Right.
Okay. 18. I know that sounds silly.
Well,
but
we every single time we've like ever approved has an 18-foot driveway, almost exclusively, almost everyone. So that's my only. Is it kind of
except for this?
Except for this. So
it's time to change it.
Yeah. Except for how we change.
And our parking ordinance says this parking stall is 18 by whatever it is, 9 or whatever. So
which units are we talking about?
So it's just the townhomes, and it's not like the cluster, so it's phase one.
But in reality, there's so much open space there.
There is.
You can push behind these all back 2 feet.
They could.
That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
Make it
I don't like reacting just because, hey, we, oops.
I think that the oops came because they brought in the flat for their first phase, which was like over here. And we looked at it, we're like, wait, it's not. So in reality...
But to Adam's point, whose fault is that?
I don't really... being on both sides, I understand that sometimes you make mistakes.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that's our fault, that their plans didn't show or communicate from the meeting. Because who knows, maybe we wouldn't have caught that 18 feet. I don't know exactly that.
And I honestly think it seems like he told me...
Because they are counting... that is parking spaces.
Right.
We kind of need to make sure they actually...
And he might be able to answer this. It seems like he told me that almost every one of the garages would still be 20 feet. So it seems like it was just a few of the buildings that were 18. I think it was the 12 they were more concerned about because, like I said, originally it was 20 feet for every portion of the building. So the 12 feet for the, like the porches and bump outs is probably more important to them. Then the 20, so you can ask them.
Okay.
Tim won't be here. Richard will be here. So you can ask them. I told them that might be your opinion. So. Where are we at? 3.1 is to vacate. It's a vacation. But this little piece of road that we got and do not need. So we're just going to go back.
When we leave, yeah, exactly.
I don't know why they call it
vacation. Wait, if that's my destination, I'll rethink.
All right, I'll bring the chicken.
3.2 is a little bit interesting. Most of you should remember this. We rezoned this piece of property. This is the corner out here right at Main Street and Herman Parkway.
Yeah.
And we I can't remember who did it or the council did it, but we put a ZC of all these permitted uses, the uses on there.
I remember that.
Because we wanted to limit what kind of uses they put on that corner.
It was a use discussion.
Because we didn't want what they
wanted. And we didn't want to do a list of prohibited uses, because that seemed longer than just doing a list of permitted uses. So the ZC is this list of uses. They'd like to add a couple uses to that list. Mm-hmm. I think, honestly, the applicant would just like to eliminate the list. But, so they're proposing...
A convenience store.
Gas station, basically.
But I remember, saying we did not, when we made the list, that's why we made the list, is because of that.
So, that's the discussion. Is they're asking to change that so they can put a gas station there. That's a public hearing.
Main corner.
Yeah.
Right where you turn off the...
That's why we put in such a large ZC.
It's because it's a prominent corner right there, so I think we wanted to make sure it was. And what they're proposing looks, you know, it looks fine, and the Maverick looks good, but that's
the only thing they make a
decision. That's what we don't want.
Okay. And then 3.3 is the sports mixed use zone, which you've had hours upon hours to review.
So if you pass this one, you've got the latest version. There's three blanks and then you need to fill in. Or get rid of the sentence that relates to the blank. I put two of the blanks in there specifically for you, Adam.
Thank you.
I think he just called you a blank and you blank.
So John did a good job. John did a good job kind of. John, you saw the earlier drafts. You saw the earlier drafts yesterday. I think John did a good job reformatting this. And then he also talked to Neil, who's the consultant doing our huge ordinance overhaul, so that it formatically fits with everything. We wanted to make it all work. So he made some changes and he had some. So, I believe this has everything you asked for. They've also sent...
Formatic.
Hey, it's...
Formatitiously.
It's like a Gordon Gordonism.
Yeah,
it is. I forwarded you all the pictures and videos and everything they sent. I've got them all in the PowerPoint if we want to go over all of them again. Remember, this, you're making a recommendation to the council on this.
But you'll change it to what our recommendation is before it
Whatever you recommend, that's what I recommend to the council. That is what I do.
So I'd rather let's just start talking about it right now.
Got it.
We got some time.
So to me... And you also mean, though, two and five, to me, 500 is kind of what I was thinking to the building.
500 feet from residential?
To the actual, the closest home, structure. The closest structure, 500 feet is what I was thinking.
So I guess that would be five.
For many residential dwellings.
I hadn't really thought, because at the time we had separated those two, but I was thinking to the building.
Can eliminate two if you want. I mean, if you need... I'm not sure the difference.
I like two, though, because then it does still...
I wanted you to blank you.
The other thing to think about is, at least according to some of the other standards, is you almost put it to where it's only allowed in commercial or industrial.
Correct.
To where the overlay is only in those, and then it has to be 500 feet from residential if they're connected.
If it's real close to that from that, that makes sense.
And so that might be a way to consider and look at, because, I mean, I don't think it has any place being in any residential. Or even really, really close to it.
Yeah,
you can prevent it.
I agree, and that's why I sent the picture of the screenshot that I sent, is because when I looked at the one, I drove by that after the drive by this weekend, surprisingly, and there's a huge wall. I don't know if you guys saw it. We're talking like a 30-foot wall.
Noise wall.
You can't even see the building. So when I went to Google Earth, that's when I saw that it was even residential. So you couldn't even, so there's no way.
So there's no residential around those existing signs.
Because on the other side, it's all lake and swampland. And so, I don't know, I'm kind of thinking, and maybe it's like 500 feet to the residential zone.
So for cell towers.
550 to the building, so you got a little bit of
comfort. There'll be a setback for the building from the, right?
Yeah, but in that pod, the setback's like 10 feet.
Yeah.
For the houses.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not commercial. The zone is probably... I mean, you could just
it's basically the same as saying 500 feet to the house.
That's
but again, we're not approving these signs.
We're not.
No, approving.
We're approving the zone.
But that's what I'm saying. Zone.
Yes.
We're going off of the standard, and that's what that's the intent of this, is it has nothing to do with reality. It has to do with us creating a zone for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And my... I think 500 feet to the residential zone is sufficient. That's kind of me.
John, I don't know how that works since it's in a residential zone.
Wait.
It's the overlay zone goes over the other zone. So the underlying zone is a residential
zone. Well, there's no approved overlay.
So then maybe it's 500 and 500 in both cases, because then the 500 to the residential. Imagine that we have another soccer somewhere or some football somewhere, and you have commercial going right up to it. The 500-foot would be protecting, so it has to stay in the commercial piece, like Chris said. But then if you do overlay it on a residential, fine.
Then it's going to
have to be
from
500
the house.
From the closest.
So it's kind of either or. It's not.
It's a double protection.
Yeah.
It's double.
But
that makes sense,
the only thing to think about is...
Or maybe it's even more. Why even have it in a residential?
Yeah, but what if we put it in a residential and it's 500 feet from the house, someone can always build another house in the residential that's closer to it. So if it's 500 from the residential zone, then it never becomes an issue.
Except for the fact that we're putting it over the top of residential zone. Because it's tied to a PD.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you got to have both. I agree with what you're saying, Chris. At a
bigger, but it has to be both.
But I think you got to have a little bit of both. And maybe you do 500 and 550. So that it's just closest house. I don't know. But about 500 is, to me, where we probably need to be. Because the freeway.
And is for you, is that more of a visual thing? Because. For cell towers, we usually say 150, and I think that's more of a if it falls over kind of a thing. But clearly, that 500 is way more than. It's only 75.
So there's a couple
of cell towers doesn't have a million LEDs in it, emitting light either.
That's true. And that's all I'm just asking.
For me, as I drive down I-15 or Bangor, where I see a lot of larger signs, billboard like signs, whenever it goes through a residential area, it looks really weird. Whenever you see
the surrounded
signs,
by houses, yeah.
It just looks odd. So to me, that's for an off-premise sign, that's the, which this is more or less is, I think 500 is to avoid the detrimental effect of a big sign next to somebody's house.
Okay.
But I mean, also we're approving just an overlay zone. We haven't decided where this overlay zone is.
Right, you haven't zoned anything this property yet. You're right.
So I mean, for me, I'm looking at it from the perspective of commercial, makes sense. Allow this overlay zone in a commercial. Industrial, yeah, sure, why not? Anything to do with residential, no. And there's probably some other zones that wouldn't make sense either. Like agricultural, I mean, a lot of stuff that I read is there's not a lot of protection for rural areas right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if this was technically a highway, we'd have to abide by the federal standards, which it sounds like we're not quite doing. And so that's why it raised a lot of flat red flags in my mind.
Okay.
I think 500 feet is a really long distance.
A freeway, just so you guys know, when I measured it, and you can correct me if I'm out of view, but the Mountain View cross-section from section to section is about 350 to 500
exactly.
feet. So it's not, it really
all
is not
all across
as
the freeway, yeah. It's
just a freeway.
I understand.
But for the adjacent
like
residential, so for example, in this particular scenario, it's that entire subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably that entire subdivision.
Agreed.
I'm not saying one way or the other.
But I think
for that's scale, that's what we're talking about.
But I think that's what we're trying to mitigate. That's
okay.
the issue.
Exactly.
To me, I mean, honestly, if the field, I know we can't go change what a building was, but if the building was closer to I-15, I don't think we'd be having the.
Certainly.
The whole discussion
would go away.
The issue is we're trying to put it really close to residential. And that's the piece that I think we need to be protecting, because that's what will be. That's what billboards are.
Mm-hmm.
Is that development under construction then, that residential?
Mm-hmm.
It's all been approved.
It's approved.
The billboard will go there first.
Selling.
The billboard will end up before.
It'll be probably about the same time.
It just seems like they have a lot of
working on a subdivision
lot, so there's a billboard hanging over the top of it.
Some people will buy it.
Yeah, of course they will.
It'll go like
this. Just to start out with,
yeah.
because that's the one they can afford.
Yeah.
The problem is someone may try to sell it.
And they jump and
yeah.
this, it'll just go down. Yeah. And that's why I think we need to have 500 feet to the residential.
Okay.
But I still think you need to have the house just in case it's some zone that we haven't quite.
Sure.
It just gives you double protection. Like buildings.
I think you would just say commercial, industrial.
And that does also.
You could say that too,
yeah.
just it'll only allow the overlay over certain zones and not over residential zones.
Yeah.
You still need the distance.
And obviously, this is just a recommendation. So, but I think a lot of this needs to be said. So
you guys have made a lot of
work.
Very good comments on this.
So then, my other issue was the sign and square footage. And that, like I said,
yeah.
when I,
yeah.
I just went to Yesco and I went, what is the billboard? And it is that square footage. What we are getting is a billboard. Whatever they're proposing
mm-hmm.
is a billboard.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to spin it. That's the size. The 14 foot by 40 foot or whatever, I can't
mm-hmm.
remember the dimensions. It is exactly
it's
what
like
he said.
Standard, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which makes sense why they're showing us a billboard off I-15 and trying to have it be
right.
the same size. So I think in order to mitigate
which has been always prohibited.
Correct.
Right.
To mitigate future.
And which is still
and will still be
prohibited.
To mitigate other forced upon lawsuits that could happen. To say, well, you let this one in and it's a billboard. You called it something else. But it really is a billboard. I think we have to mitigate the size and reduce it so that it's clearly not a billboard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What size is the Harriman signs when coming?
Oh, those are only like 20 feet tall. They're.
I looked
are you
today.
Talking the
screen
size?
The
screen
sizes.
Screen
sizes
are 7 to 8
feet,
probably.
Yeah,
maybe.
10 by.
I mean, they're
not
100
square
feet.
They're not. Yeah, maybe 100 square feet.
Yeah,
exactly.
They're not that.
I mean, I looked at our sign ordinance, and the biggest signs besides that we have is what 64 square feet is the maximum you can go for a sign.
Uh-huh. It's a monument sign as well, yeah.
But what I'm saying is
yeah.
the Walmart that it makes. What I'm saying is something that makes sense. We're saying
yeah. Walmart's is bigger.
Okay.
But yeah.
But for stuff like
that. But yeah.
It's usually 64.
All the other monument signs are 64 square feet. Yep.
And we're talking
672.
I don't know what that. I should have done that math, but
how much time? How many times bigger?
Yeah, I thought about it. I try. I'm thinking in the 300 range max, 350.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how to measure that. I liked their. I actually saw the Real Salt Lake sign, and I don't agree with the whole big sign, but the screen size
of the Sandy
side. Yeah.
That screen size was about 400 square feet, they said.
Yeah.
And to me, that kind of fit with what I would envision.
Exactly.
Hey, this, you know, football game or this thing's happening, it's this big. I know he's not going to make money on the sign, but I don't think that should be. It's on a billboard.
No. I was almost thinking.
And if the council
the
wants to.
Signs.
Huh? Go ahead.
I was thinking double the size of ours, the Harriman, the screen of ours.
I was, again, not knowing relation size, in my head I was thinking around the 400 mark myself. Because, again, for me, when I looked at the pictures and the videos and the things they sent, there is absolutely no doubt what they're proposing is a billboard.
Yeah,
and I don't, and I don't believe that regardless of the success that we want all of these developments to have in the city, I don't think that that justifies changing what we have always said is prohibited in a billboard. And I don't think that it fits in the area. I think that there are something, again, more along the lines of probably what they have over in city right now, those types of things. That's still going to get that out, but, and I know Mountain View is going to get busier, but to me that doesn't change the fact that I think that it needs a billboard.
But our Mountain View is going to have a lot of residential. We already have a lot of residential along
it. Along it, absolutely.
And if we don't change the size, and I told this to Chris when we were leaving, because there's a White House right here that's about 15 feet tall and 40 feet wide. It's about the size of that sign, the house.
John, couldn't we move the sign, the size, down to under B as a detrimental effect? Mm-hmm. And say basically they have to...
But right now they're going to mitigate the detrimental effect because...
But pretend there's no sign and you don't know where it's going. The size may differ depending on where it is, right? Depending on what's next to it, depending on where it is, depending on what road.
Except.
So I'm just saying.
In Germany, we do not do billboards. And so to me, it will never be that large.
No, I agree.
But what I'm saying is, could we just take out the number completely and say basically to mitigate the detrimental effect of surrounding properties, the size will be determined basically based on the property and where you come in with your application.
Good with we'll that, but in no case is larger than this.
But in no case to exceed, I agree. That's fine.
So I think I just want a note.
A max.
So that we don't get us trying to debate
so
a detrimental effect at 672 square feet. And
but then do we get a whole bunch of 400 square foot ones when we could have gotten
no, because it's tied to 5,000 feet.
And 1,800 feet is the closest.
And so then if, so yeah, say if they say, only say a billboard person.
400 square feet is a big
and
sign.
It's an overlay area.
Yeah,
so.
We have to zone it first before they could even ask for it. And then they have to build a 5,000-seat stadium before they can even ask for it. So.
I don't think we changed any of the other proposals.
The one thing I will say that I forgot to tell you that John took out is we had some information in here about sponsorship and tied to the activities. That's content-based, and we can't regulate the content of the sign. So we'll put that in the development agreement because this requires a development agreement for the sign. So that's where we'll need to work through that.
And I will tell you, I drove by the Rio Salt Lake sign at night. Mm-hmm. And when that soccer ball comes towards you, like it's being kicked towards you, it's very noticeable. And if I had a house within 300-500 feet, I would notice it. 100% without a doubt.
And I thought this was like no like video or no motion or whatever.
Yeah,
but that's the thing is they say that, but in reality, that's going to be so hard to regulate.
I know.
A limit to what the motion is in their mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's why I think we have to have the protection of putting it a certain distance away from this.
Right. This says in here an electronic display may allow for a change of message, but the interval between displayed messages shall not be more frequent than the greater of 8 seconds.
And you know
or
what?
Any interval.
I would probably say it's still filling that category if you really wanted to get down to it and say, well, that was the changing of it.
Yeah.
There are ways to look and twist it and whatever that we really can't control. So.
The problem is I don't have any other sign to say. Like,
For the size.
But I would say no bigger than 400.
I think not to exceed, and then I think John can probably...
I like your idea.
...make it one of the standards. So again, we got to look at
I don't think
the detrimental effects of that piece of property when we look
at it. I think it should be worded as not just surrounding, but proposed surrounding.
Yeah.
What's general plan around that area?
So with respect to how frequently the image can change, there have been several studies done that indicate that 12 seconds is the kind of where it stops having a negative
impact. And I can see that. It's not flashy, right?
Yeah.
But when I was driving by the other one, I noticed it changed like three times. And, I mean, every time it changed, your eyes
were
rolling
every
time.
Yeah, it's distracting.
It's going to cause more accidents, right?
The big one at 7 miles an hour, I saw it. It's going to go under as well. In my path. We're going to have our science program down
there. They're less than 8 seconds. And the federal standard, I think, is 8 seconds.
Yeah,
somebody may want
pretty fast.
Have somebody look into that a little bit.
I can't always read it when I drive by. It changes too quick.
Then it may not apply. So this standard applies to like billboards, right? And that
this one, I'm sure, is, it has a different standard.
Because it has to do with speed, too.
Right.
Right.
There's longer times at higher speeds.
Yep.
Right.
I think light and light is only one potential detrimental impact.
Mm-hmm.
Distracted driving is already a big problem on Mountain View Corridor.
Yeah,
and if we put a sign that changes every 8 seconds to the federal standard for something like I-15, where the speed limit is 70 miles an hour, I think we need to slow those down to 12 seconds. That's my...
I thought you meant we need to slow the people on Mountain View Corridor.
If they see it change, they're going to slow down to see what that was.
So we're not really saying to put the detrimental effect statement.
Well, so under
under
7B.
7B.
That's where John's listed the photometric and all the things that are required. The detrimental effects, basically.
Where you put in your ordinance the detrimental effects. That's in B. Those are the detrimental effects.
So we could move the size.
Reasonable.
So we could probably have it both. You could probably have it up here in the standard
I think
state,
you have it in the
not
standard.
To exceed this, and then have it down here as a to mitigate the surrounding. What's the general plan on the surrounding property?
You have to fight to get.
Then we got to get.
Yeah, you don't just
the size.
You come in at 250 and you mitigate
based on the speed of the road and what's surrounding and everything else. You know
mitigate
what I mean?
Towards
what.
And then, were they going to shut off at a certain time, or are they just going to dim them? Because I know we talked about that.
I think all that's proposed.
I think the dimming at night is what we're talking about, yeah.
And I think, honestly.
And was it going to be the dim, like on the slick one on 90th? Bangator? Because I don't know if that one's still bright.
That one's really bright. They don't dip that one, I'm pretty sure. That one and then the hospital, the Intermountain.
Mm-hmm. The senior eyes
and hospital, that one doesn't dim either at night. But because of the size, it's a small one, they might not have to meet those requirements.
They probably don't.
Well, and it's on-premise, right? So it might not have to meet. And Bangor's probably not specified.
That's the same thing why when you drive by the auto mall, they're all on-premise and they can flash all day long. Mm-hmm. They uphold their standard.
So not on the freeway.
I want to tie that to the ambient light. I want to put something in there to tie that to the ambient light because...
Yeah, we didn't talk about that last time, but the percent
that
over ambient light, because it depends on if it's overcast and if it's,
This is ish.
And there was a standard, it wasn't in NHTSA, it was in whatever, foot candles or something that I think the state of Colorado uses. I think it was, what was that? I had it in my email. I can look up and say that, but it was like, 0.3, I think, foot candles over ambient light. I lived in Colorado. When they dim at night, it's actually really nice. It's easy on the eyes.
I don't know if they said exactly, but I think they said it was about...
Rinse in the sun on that.
The size of the
RSL,
I said again this afternoon.
Oh, it's in the pack. It's in the packet.
It's actually, it is in your packet.
Yeah, the whole thing is like 900 and over 1,000 square feet.
What's the screen size?
The screen size is 24 by 11. Well,
23
by 11.
23 basically.
So it's not even as big as
400.
It's
not
460. I think 400 would be perfect.
It's
264.
I think, I'm kind of actually, I
thought
they
say
400.
How
I'm saying I'm good with that sign, to be honest. I thought it was 400.
Did they say what they were going to increase that sign to? What the city?
No, they did say they were going to increase it, but they didn't say how.
I think they said they're going to the
probably
pole.
The big signs.
If they put the big sign there, that's a very interesting.
They said that they had already got there was changes in Sandy City and they'd already been granted approval.
That's crazy where that's located.
It's really good.
Let's not go that direction.
That's not for us.
It's fine. You pulled it.
Yep.
But they kind of already have in there that full, because there's those three billboards below it.
But they don't change. They're static.
That one is static.
Yeah, only this one changes. These are all static. And I noticed them actually look
a little
off.
But they're digital, right? And they can change?
No, these can't.
No, the other ones can change.
They actually,
so they're just
they go up there and they change them.
So what about this? What if we say,
actually looks really awkward to me.
What if
that's what they're trying to do is make it
something. Okay, go, Adam.
What if we set the maximum screen size of flashing screen? I don't know how to put this yet, but I'm thinking this. Is 250 square feet or 300 square feet.
Digital display.
And then the remainder of the sign.
The surrounding, the name, and all that.
All the other stuff is 400, not excluding the arm and all that crap.
Yeah.
But that's, I think, the biggest issue.
And you guys may not like me, but I'm actually okay with the 400 as long as it's protected. And not as close to the residential.
Because of the speed there, I think 400 is in one digital
display. Yeah, I'm not as opposed to that 400 size.
I don't want to end up with one of these signs where part of it is static.
But now that I know that's 260 something, I think a 400 is a large enough.
What I'm trying to say though is
maximum.
I like the idea of a prettier outside of the sign. But that's still a lot of mass, and I'm not saying that I want this huge thing up there. I get the shiny part. That's why I'm kind of leaning more on the 300 line. The screen's 300. The max of the whole sign structure.
I think a lot of that depends on what you allow for your maximum height.
Well, what the design of the sign is.
What your maximum height above the road grade.
Which is 45 feet.
Again, I agree with what you're saying, but I think that much mass extra in a sign 45 feet in the air is probably still too much. If you bring that height down a little bit, I think you can increase that a little bit.
We told them we'd give them a true direction, so I'm trying to be
right.
I'm good.
Curtis, what you had in your email, because I found that is when you're back to the foot candles, you had maximum brightness not to exceed 0.3 foot candles over ambient light is the way you got that.
Yeah, we had talked about the ambient light last time, but you guys kept liked that idea, it seemed like, so.
So it automatically has to dim.
If it's overcast or whatever
happens.
Ambient
light is,
And it sounds like Yesco said that's how it's going to be programmed anyway. So.
But see, and Curtis actually even addressed this a little bit in his email, too, back to the height thing and the overall sign. His was 400 square feet, but maximum height over the roadway not to exceed 25 feet. And that's where I would draw my visual reference from. I absolutely agree that your mass, you can't take extra mass around the digital display and still shove that thing another 45 or 50 feet in the air. I think that is, again, you're back to almost a billboard sign in total mass. And I don't think we want
to
do
that. So that was
either.
To the bottom, that 25 feet, I think, was to the bottom of the sign.
Yeah, you said not to exceed 25 feet, maximum height over the roadway, not to exceed 25 feet.
So what I was implying was 25 feet from road surface to the bottom of the sign.
And then the sign.
That's how UDOT measured those.
So he's saying that.
So then the sign adjusts.
You have legs 25 feet tall, basically.
Yeah, that was the. So I was just going off of the UDOT data, and there's a column in there that's that is the. From the roadway to the bottom of the sign, the height over the roadway, it wasn't the total height of those because 25 feet, that would put that bottom of the sign right close to the roadway.
Yeah.
Depending on your screen size.
Yeah. Yeah. Based on, I mean, that's what my recommendation would
be.
I was thinking to the bottom of the sign.
Gotcha.
All right, let's not start late. So.
Yeah. Any more discussion on that?
Make sure you put something in 5B, the number of acres.
5 TV.
Oh, yeah, we have put a number of acres. John, where is
first page.
What's the size of PG?
10, 6, 5 TV.
Is it 15 or 10? I can't remember.
The size required for a PUD?
Yes.
15.
Then I think you should do that.
I think it could be at 200.
I'd say 200.
Think higher?
Oh, yeah. Okay. 100.
I mean, the RSL facility itself is like 100 acres.
Yeah.
Plus, we're doing overlay. I mean, for example, then the overlay is over additional residential property as well. So, I mean,
okay.
take a couple. Let's move in.
Clint, we have three public hearings. No, two public hearings. We already had a public hearing on this. The apartments are not on for public hearing. You've received all the emails, so we'll just want to address that.
Yep.